If you're worried about your financial future, struggling to figure out how to pay for college, or even feeling the pinch at the grocery store, there's still hope for joy and peace. Hi, I'm Rob West. Financial challenges can make joy feel out of reach, but as Christians, we're called to face difficulties with a heart at peace. Today, we'll talk about how to embrace joy, even in uncertain times. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, when you have financial worries or struggles of any kind, God's Word offers wisdom and reassurance. Here are three biblical principles we'll look at today. Hardships are opportunities to grow in your faith. Joy and peace are not dependent on your circumstances. Your struggles have a purpose. Let's begin with the idea that hardships can be opportunities to strengthen your faith. The book of James opens with a powerful challenge. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. At first, that might seem like an unusual perspective on financial challenges. It sounds as if James is saying trials are beneficial, so we should simply be happy about them. On the surface, that may not seem logical. However, Scripture reveals that joy in difficult times is possible, not because of our circumstances, but because of who God is and who He is shaping us to become. James wrote his letter to believers who were far from home, discouraged, and facing persecution. They were dealing with worse trials than most of us face, and James reassured them, "The testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." When James says perseverance must finish its work, he reminds us that trials are inevitable, but they shouldn't discourage us. God has a purpose in our struggles. In this broken world, challenges will come, but through endurance, we grow in faith, becoming mature, complete, and fully equipped for what God has called us to do. Weightlifters understand that muscles don't get stronger until they get torn down and built back up. No pain, no gain. In the same way, pushing through hardship builds up our faith muscles. As we learn to trust God's goodness in all things, our faith increases. So hardships are an opportunity to strengthen our faith. That brings us to the second biblical idea. Joy and peace are not dependent on your circumstances. Financial challenges are a part of life, but joy is an attitude that looks beyond the pain and frustration of the moment. Nehemiah 8:10 reminds us, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Peace is another godly response to trials. True peace comes from knowing that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7 calls it peace that surpasses all understanding. In Christ, we can have that kind of peace no matter our financial circumstances. Here's a question I hear a lot. Doesn't God want me to be happy? In other words, if God is loving, He should protect me from circumstances that make me feel unhappy. Unfortunately, this worldview twists the truth about God's character. God is not a cosmic Santa handing us whatever we want. He loves us more than that. In Christ, we see God's love for us in action. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God created us for a relationship with Him, and true fulfillment is only found when Jesus is our greatest treasure. Romans 8:17 says, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory." Happiness is fleeting, tied to external circumstances like economic trends, bank balances, and emotions that fluctuate like shifting shadows. But God remains constant, always good, always loving, always just. Because His character never changes, we can navigate any financial challenge with a heart anchored in peace and joy. The third biblical principle to remember in financial trials is that your struggles have a purpose. In fact, there are three key reasons God may allow us to go through difficult seasons: to strengthen our faith and deepen our dependence on Him, to reveal His love and provision as we trust Him, and to redirect us when we've drifted off course. I hope that's an encouragement to you today. No matter where you find yourself and what your circumstances are, may you experience the joy and the peace that God has for you. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Final words can have big impact. They stick in your mind, and they're the one thing you remember long afterward. That's why so many church services end with a benediction. Parting thoughts intended to remind you of what is true, of what Jesus has done for you, so you can go and live in light of that. So here's a benediction, a good word for this day, taken from Jude. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Try out Anchor Devotional today. In print, monthly. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
American Family Association would like to thank everyone who participated in our Target boycott. AFA declared the boycott when Target announced it would allow men into women's dressing rooms and restrooms. Since the start of the boycott, Target lost over $2 billion in stock value. They've scaled back LGBT Pride Month products and added single-occupancy restrooms. Other corporations also reconsidered their policies in light of the Target boycott. Since it served its purpose, AFA has officially ended our Target boycott.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Thank you so much for this program and everything that you do. I've just learned a tremendous amount of wisdom with finance and how to kind of tackle investments. So you always would say to save up 3 to 6 months of an emergency fund before you make any kind of crazy investment. And so I started doing that, and almost to the exact day that I saved up 6 months of an emergency fund, I lost my job and God called me into global missions. So because I had the 6 months emergency fund there, I didn't have to be frantic and look for a different job. And I was able to really focus on my ministry and go to training that I needed to do. And I expedited that entire process. And I literally leave for the mission field in January. So without this program and your advice, who knows where I would be right now, but I just wanted to call in and just say thank you so much for everything that you do.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our team is not here today, so let me just remind you not to call in, but I will also remind you that we have some great questions that we lined up in advance, so you're not going to want to miss today's broadcast. By the way, I'm so grateful for so many of you who call and invite us into your story and allow us to journey with you as you discover God's heart as it relates to your management of His resources. We want to equip you to do that with wisdom from God's Word as you approach your financial financial stewardship with real responsibility, realizing that we're going to be accountable to the Lord someday, that our call is to be found faithful, and the objective is well done, good and faithful steward. Our hope each day is to come alongside you and kind of be those the cheerleader, if you will, encouraging you, bringing God's wisdom and counsel to bear in light of your financial decisions and choices, hopefully being hopeful and even helping you in a difficult spot, being empathetic, but also being theologically sound, because we know that it's important to understand the heart of God, to operate through the lens of a biblical worldview, and that's what we try to do each day on the broadcast. So in the news today, economists are pessimistic that the Federal Reserve will cut interest rates again at its next meeting. Reuters this week polled over 100 economists, basically asking them to predict if the Fed would cut rates. Well, by a slim majority, it was thumbs down. The reasons given were concerns about lingering inflation, exacerbated by expected policy changes by the Trump administration that could spark stronger growth in the economy. Those would include possible tax cuts and deregulation. We'll, of course, have to wait and see what happens to interest rates this time around. We will be watching very closely to how that might turn out. All right, let's head to the phones here today. We're going to begin in Chattanooga. Natasha, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you so much for this show. My question is, I'm having some medical issues that aren't covered under insurance. It's going to require me to get a part-time job and also sacrifice my tithe and offering. And I don't approach that lightly. I'm really concerned about using my tithe and offering for medical expenses.
Yeah. Sure. Well, the good news, Natasha, is the Lord doesn't need our money. It all belongs to Him. He wants our hearts, but He does want us to be a generous people. I think as we look through the Old and New Testament, we see that a portion of what He entrusts to us, we should be generous givers, putting it back into circulation in God's economy, starting with the local church. At the same time, God is not an accountant. He's not, concerned about you going through a season and having to, not be able to give temporarily. I would say, let's look when you're struggling financially like you are now for other opportunities to cut back. Is there a place in your budget that you could find something you could do without? And again, it's not that, we have to check a box and not trying to make this legalistic. At the same time, I think our ability and willingness to continue to trust God and continue to be generous, even in a difficult season, I think there's something about that that just grows our faith. It stretches us a bit. There's incredible joy that comes with that. But at the end of the day, listen, if you're down to bare bones and, we look at kind of those key things we have to do. We've got to keep food on the table. We've got to keep a roof over our head. We've got to keep the utilities on. We've got to keep gas in the car to get to work. But if everything else becomes negotiable, perhaps there are other places you could find some resources to cover these medical bills. And perhaps you continue giving, maybe at a lesser level. And perhaps that's where I'll finish my thoughts is, rather than just eliminating it, what if you continue to exercise that monthly giving muscle just to demonstrate your willingness to continue to depend on the Lord, even if you cut that back? But rather than going to zero, just temporarily reduce that with the hope of getting it back up just as soon as you can. What are your thoughts on all that?
I think that's a perfect solution. I didn't consider cutting back in other areas, so thank you for pointing that out, and I think that it's doable. I feel encouraged.
All right, thank Natasha. Lord bless you. How are you still having some medical challenges? How can our faith and finance community be praying for you?
Oh, just for provision and protection, and God's been so faithful in my life. Hmm. Perpetually faithful. So I don't want to worry.
Okay. Well, thank you for giving testimony to God's faithfulness, even in the midst of the challenges you're facing. I know that honors Him. Thank you for calling today. To Indianapolis. Hi, Paul. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Yeah, so I just kind of had a question about, so I recently got married about 6-7 months ago. So my wife and I here in Indianapolis are kind of just thinking about ways to invest both short-term and long-term. And I've researched a little bit about like IRAs, traditional and Roth, and she's looked a little bit into CDs. Was kind of just looking for just, yeah, some advice and recommendations that you had for first time and new investors.
Yeah, very good. Well, I'd love to send you a book that you can work your way through that I think will be helpful to you. It's called The Sound Mind Investing Handbook. And it really is kind of a primer on investing, but through the lens of biblical wisdom. And I think, you know, you and your wife will find that really valuable. So we'll send that to you. Hang on the line after we're done. We'll get your information and get it right out to you. You know, I think we always want to think about the purposes of our money and really kind of think about it in buckets. I mean, starting with the emergency fund, making sure we have 3 to 6 months expenses. Next, we want to make sure that, you know, we've got high interest credit card debt and other consumer debt paid off. Beyond that, I think the next opportunity is for you, if you have a company sponsored plan at work, especially if there's matching, go ahead and get started there and pick some good, you know, high quality, meaning low cost with good performance, diversified mutual funds that could get you into some growth oriented investments. You want to take full advantage of the matching. You could go up to 10 to 15% of your pay. That would be a great goal. You could also each fund Roth IRAs, which would be great. You could open those at Fidelity, perhaps, and you could use one of the faith-based investing funds you'll find on our website at faithfi.com or our friends at soundmindinvesting.org. But I think if you get started with those things, emergency fund, paying down debt, giving regularly, and then company-sponsored plan, perhaps Roth IRA, with a goal of getting up to 10 to 15% over time, you'll be really headed in the right direction. But let's do this. Stay on the line. We're going to get your information. I'll send you the Sound Mind Investing Handbook as our gift to you. I think that'll give you a lot more information as well. Thanks for your call, Paul. We'll be right back.
At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at afr.net.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. Out to Plymouth, New Hampshire, listening online is Barbara. Barbara, how can I help you?
Hi, Rob. Well, I have a 91-year-old mother who has decided that she's going to go into a retirement home. She wants to sell the house. It's getting to be too much for her. As far as I know, she has not filed an income tax for years and years and years. So my thought was, what's going to happen when she gets this bulk, you know, amount of money from the sale of the house? What's going to happen? Is she going to have to file an income tax, or is there a way to mark this money for her retirement housing? I just don't know what's going to happen after she gets this big lump sum from the house.
Yeah, very good. It could be that she didn't need to file in these past years just based on her income. And so it would be not a bad idea to check with a CPA just to make sure she is in compliance. But the sale of the home will mean that she will likely need to file her taxes. If she hasn't had to in the past, she will now, because it's considered a taxable event. The IRS will require her to report the sale on her tax return to determine if there is a taxable gain. So it's not income, but it is a capital gain. Now, she will likely qualify for the primary residence exclusion. So for a single tax filer or a single person, you would have up to $250,000 in profit or gain, not the sale price, but the gain, up to $250,000, so long as she's lived there for her primary residence for two out of the last 5 years, that $250,000 in gain would be excluded from taxation as a single individual. And so you'd take the selling price minus any selling expenses like commissions to a real estate professional, and you'd come up with the adjusted cost basis. And then you would be able to determine, you know, how much gain there is. Do you think that would go above $250,000?
We're thinking the house has been marked for around, it could be $275,000, it could be $300,000, you know, as far as how much she could get for it.
Okay. And how much did she pay for it long time ago when she bought it?
Oh, gosh, way back, I don't know, maybe only like around $70,000.
Okay. But in your example, and we'd have to, you know, work the numbers, but she's probably pretty close and doesn't sound like she's going to have any capital gain, because if, let's say she sells it for $300,000 and she paid $70,000, well, that's $230,000 in profit before we subtract any fees or commissions and any improvements that she made to the property. So even just at face value, before those are pulled out, 300 minus 70 is only 230, and if she's lived there for two out of the last 5 years as her primary residence, she gets up to $250,000 that is excluded from capital gain.
Okay, so what does that mean? She doesn't have to pay taxes?
That's correct. So she would not have a capital gain because she'd be able to exclude that from any gains. Now, she still would need to file a return, even if it's fully excluded, because she'll need to report the sale on her tax return, the 1040 Schedule D. But if it's below the exclusion amount of $250,000, even though she's filing, there would not be any long-term capital gains on it because that amount would be set aside.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, if she hasn't had any income above the filing threshold, she may not have needed to file tax returns in recent years. But just remember, this sale of the home will trigger a filing requirement. And if you have questions as to whether or not she may have needed to file, that would be a good idea to check with a tax professional.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Barbara. God bless you. Thanks for calling today. Let's go to Spokane. Janet, how can I help?
Hi there, Rob. I'm selling my house, and when I'm all done selling my house and pay off some credit card and all of this, I'll have about $150,000 left over. I'm moving into a house that my children are buying, so I won't have like a house payment or anything. I'll be mortgage free. And so I'll have about $150,000 left over after the sale of my house. And I'm just curious of where I should, the best way to invest that $150,000.
Yeah. So will this be in addition to other savings that you have, or will this be the extent of your savings?
This will be the extent.
Okay. So in this season of life, you may want to think about keeping, you know, as much as 12 months in liquid reserves, where you would just put it in and do, I would suggest, probably a high-yield savings account. What would be roughly 12 months' worth of expenses? How much?
Probably about $12,000.
Okay. All right. So I would, at a minimum, set that aside and put it into savings. And so that would leave you $138,000. Are you needing to pull any income from this, or is this money you can just kind of invest and forget about?
Just invest and forget about.
Okay, great. So what I would probably do, I mean, it's a significant sum of money, Janet, unless you said, listen, I don't want to take any risk with it. I want to be in, you know, guaranteed investments, even though everything has some risk. But on the most conservative end of the investment spectrum would be bank products like CDs. You could ladder some CDs and, you know, get 3 or 4% interest, you know, for the next 5 years plus. You could buy some U.S. government, you know, treasuries. Like you could buy a 10-year treasury, which is paying, you know, in the high fours right now, backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. I mean, you could do that yourself. If you felt like, no, I want to be conservative, but I'm willing to invest it, which means having some risk and a mix of stocks and bonds, I'd connect with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Spokane. There's some great CKAs that would share your values, that would be able to help you build an investment strategy based on your goals and objectives and risk tolerance. They could also add some faith-based investments so you'd be sure that they aligned with your values. I'd interview two or three to find someone that you feel like is a good fit, you have a good rapport, you feel like you fit among their other clients, and they're going to communicate with you the way you want. The way to find that is to go to our website, faithfi.com, and click Find a Professional. Put in your zip code. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Empty stomachs, waterborne illnesses, hopelessness. These are harsh realities for impoverished African children, but you can make a difference. Join with Cross International to share the love of Jesus with a child in critical need today. Each gift of $62 provides a child with life-saving resources. Give now at crossinternational.org/faith or 866-843-9500 and help kids go from barely surviving to thriving.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Every day we hear life-changing stories from listeners just like you who see money and possessions as tools to invite more people into God's kingdom. Instead of chasing wealth, you've chosen to embrace God as your source of love and provision.
At FaithFi, we're passionate about meeting people where they live and work through our national radio program, app, resources, and website to influence widespread positive change in our culture. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at faithfi.com/give.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. Let's head right back to the phones. Greenville, South Carolina is where Esther is located. Esther, how can I help you?
Hi. We are recently retired, and we came into a chunk of money, and we want to know how to invest it. We've heard of URLs dealing with insurance, so you have this pot of money, you can put it in, we can borrow from it, and then save at the same time for our death benefits. But the thing is, we want to know where to put this money and also be able to have a little access to it if we need it.
Yeah. And are you willing to take any risk? I mean, would you want to invest it in the market?
We'll do a little in the market, but not all of it.
Okay. And how much roughly are you receiving?
So we got a good chunk of about around $50,000. So.
Okay, great. And so you've got a couple of options. I mean, one is you could use it to kind of shore up your emergency fund and just put it in high yield savings. It's always a good idea to think about, do we want to pay down debt? Is there any debt you'd like to pay off? That's going to be a guaranteed return equal to the interest rate of the debt you're paying off. Do you want to give any portion of it away? Is there something the Lord is leading you to? If the answer to all of those is no, I don't think so right now, we really would love to put it to work, then I think you just have to decide how much risk are you willing to take for how much return. So if you wanted to stay on the most conservative end of the risk spectrum, we'd be talking, you know, high yield savings, maybe some CDs, maybe some U.S. Treasury bonds, something like that. You know, you would get 3 or 4, maybe 5% and something like that. You could be, you know, have a mix of bonds and, you know, through mutual funds. Since you have, you know, less than 100,000, I'd probably be thinking about a bond mutual fund. You could also add a stock mutual fund as well that has a mix of stocks to let this money grow. Could it be down? Absolutely. I mean, the market's been doing phenomenal the last several years, really the last several decades. You know, we've had a pretty good, strong up and to the right trend, and in the last year was wildly successful. Can't continue on that pace forever. We're going to have corrections along the way, but, you know, historically speaking, it's a good place to grow your wealth as long as you have a time horizon that's suitable. And I would say that's at least 10 years. You know, that's probably the best place for you to grow that money. And you do have access to it. You just are going to want to make sure you have at least reason to believe that you don't need the money. Because if you, you know, had to access it when the market happened to be down, let's say 2 years from now, we're in a recession, the market has pulled back 20% from when you started investing, that would not be the time to sell. You'd want to be able to ride that out and until it goes to new highs. And if this is money that you can't do that with, well, that, you know, might be a reason why you would hold off of that. So that would be one option, and our friends at soundmindinvesting.org can help you make those mutual fund selections. But if you really are looking for something that is more guaranteed, that has a floor on it, I think that's where a variable annuity could be an option. It's not my typical go-to, because you're giving up a few things in order to get that downside protection. You're giving up, in part, access to your money, so you might be able to only get to, let's say, 10% a year. Now, you may say, that's fine. I'm willing to live with that. Okay. Then the second thing you're giving up is you're giving up upside. And here's what I mean by that. You know, if we look at how the stock market, and we'll say the stock market, let's call it the S&P 500, the 500 biggest growth stocks in the United States. If we look at the average annual return for the S&P 500 over the last 75 years, it's pretty attractive. And the primary reason for that is, despite the years where the market was down, and there are plenty of them, it's those huge up years like we had in 2024 that really give you the annualized returns that are so attractive. Well, the problem with the annuity is you cap your upside. And so the way that they are able to protect you on the downside is they say, we're going to give you a portion of the upside, but when you get to the maximum for the year, we're going to keep everything else. And in these big up years like we had last year, you just don't get that, you know, nice higher annual return that gives you the better long-term averages. And that's why I tend to not like annuities. But if at the end of the day you say, Rob, what's most important to us is the safety, and we're willing to give up the upside, we're willing to give up a little access to the money, and we'd like to transfer it to an insurance company and let them take all the risk, well, then that's where an annuity can shine. And I would make sure, you know, you get several annuities that you look at before you decide on the right one. But apart from that, I would just invest in stocks and bonds. Now, I've thrown a lot at you, Esther. Give me your thoughts.
That was a lot of information at one time. But so I had asked someone when they called me earlier and asked questions, they were talking about the URLs, and I had gotten one. And, you know, you hear all of that stuff about how great that is, but then hearing you talk, I'm not sure that's good, because I got one, and it was like, oh, I'm supposed to be able to put my hand in this bucket and get this money out. And then it says, oh, it's if you have a critical disease, you know, and, you know, terminal disease. And I'm like, well, then I'm not going to get to use the money anyway. So I was just trying to find out, when they talk about those insurance policies where, you know, I'm saving X amount of dollars, you know, there's a death benefit, there's I can borrow from myself, and also, you know, then there's that savings there. So that was kind of like, how do you – what do you think about that? Or is one of these equivalent to what I just said to you?
Yeah, it is. I mean, so what you're talking about is an IUL, which stands for Indexed Universal Life. And it's a type of permanent life insurance that combines a death benefit with a cash value component. And that performance of that cash value component is tied to a stock market index, like the example I gave of the S&P 500. So it offers the potential for cash value growth based on the index that's underlying it, while protecting against losses with a minimum guaranteed interest rate and a death benefit. And all that sounds great, but how does the insurance company make money? Well, it's in the ways that I said. You're going to participate in that index's performance, but there's going to be a cap rate, which means, you know, maybe the maximum the policy will earn in a given year is 10%. And if the index earns 12, or like last year it earns 24, you're going to get 10. And the insurance is going to keep the rest. Well, why would I do that? Well, they're also going to give you a floor, which means that the minimum return is zero, meaning if the market's down 20%, you're still even. So, you know, some people are willing to give up the upside in order to have the downside floor, and then you've got the death benefit. In my view, what I would rather do is take all the risk, invest with the long time horizon, get 100% of the upside and be willing to take the downside, and then get a term life insurance policy for the death benefit and not try to mix them. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
I just, okay.
Listen, it was funny. I was driving to Columbia for a 2-hour meeting. And so I said, I heard you on, and I said, I'm going to give them a call.
Good. Well, listen, think about all that. You're welcome to go back. You can find the replay of this a little later this evening. You could listen back to it. And if you have some questions, don't hesitate to call us back in the future, or better yet, reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor there in Greenville. There's some great ones. You'll find an investment professional and financial planner with the CKA designation when you go to faithfi.com. Just click find a professional. Hey, all the best to you, Esther. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. Folks, just a quick reminder. reminder, our team is away from the studio today, so don't call in, but we've got some great questions lined up in advance. Hey, before we head into this next break, let me remind you that Faith and Finance is listener supported. That means we rely on your generous support to do everything we do on the airwaves, through our coaches and counselors, through our certified Kingdom advisors, and even in the FaithFi app. So if you'd consider a gift, we'd certainly be grateful. You can make a gift at faithfi.com. Just click give. That's faithfi.com. Click the give button. Back with much more right after this. Stay with us.
We're going to talk about the further issue, our response, who's behind this.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Talk is cheap.
Honest. Insightful.
Doing nothing is creating chaos in the world. Danger for America.
Sandy Rios informs listeners from a Christian worldview.
It's time to act in the polls, because I have to tell you, most of them are just doing nothing.
Listen on the podcast page at afr.net.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shree with From His Heart Ministries.
How many people come to church and they're chained to a bitter spirit and all sorts of problems, chained to greed and selfishness? Even when they want to break free, they can't seem to break free. Worship Him and praise Him, and let Him remove the chains.
Learn to break the chains forever through Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central, here on American Family Radio.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Just a quick reminder, we're not here today, so don't call in, but we lined up some great questions in advance. We'll get to those in just a moment. First, hey, I'm holding in my hand our brand new publication. That's right. It's the quarterly publication, Faithful Steward. We're so excited about it. It's essentially a 52-page journal, just full of articles with beautiful illustrations, all focused on helping you integrate faith and financial decisions for God's glory. In this first issue, we deal with money and marriage and how to help your kids grow in generosity and aligning your giving with God's heart. What do you do if you your spouse is not yet a believer and is struggling with your giving to the local church? How do you handle that? Ron Blue weighs in on that. Drawing from Ecclesiastes, wisdom over wealth, and understanding the implications of God owning it all. Even an article on, should I lend to family and friends? You know, that is the single most popular episode we've ever had on Faith and Finance. That topic, well, we tackle it in our first issue of Faithful Steward. If you'd like to receive this beautiful quarterly publication in your mailbox each quarter, the way to do that is to become a FaithFi partner. It's a way to support the ministry, but also receive the publication. And anytime we come out with a new study or devotional, like our upcoming study on the book of Ecclesiastes called Wisdom Over Wealth, it will be delivered to you. Just go to faithfi.com and click give, faithfi.com. A gift of monthly $35 or more or $400 a year qualifies you as a partner, and you'll receive all of that in your mailbox. All right, back to the phones. We're going to get to as many calls as we can before we round out the broadcast here today. To Minnesota, Tina, thank you for waiting patiently. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you, first of all, for what you do for God's kingdom.
Thank you.
You're welcome. My question to you is, we have an opportunity to buy a home that my friend's father is selling. There's no attachment there as far as do we really want this home. But We were offered to bid on the house before it was put out on the market. They, the realtor told them to list it for $350,000 and they would sell it to us for $300,000. So my question to you is this anything that we should even look at this period in our life? My husband is 65 and I'm 60.
Yeah. What is your plan with it, Tina? I mean, obviously, it sounds like a good buy just at face value, because if the market value truly is $350,000 and you can justify that based on the comparable sales, and they're going to, you know, sell it to you at a discount, essentially maybe an 84% of market, or 85, so you're getting 15% off, that's a good deal. And then would you just turn around and sell it for full market value? Would you hang on to it and rent it? What are you thinking?
Well, it is a lake home. It is on a small lake. So we were actually thinking, and we're not out of this yet, to do it as a rental, because our home here in Minnesota is paid off. Another cost that we have to take in consideration is we also have a home in Florida. However, that is rented out. So there is always that possibility of, you know, if the renters stay, great. If they don't, they just renew the lease for another year. So, but those are all questions we have.
Yeah, no, I understand. Well, I'm glad to hear this wouldn't be your first rodeo. You've been a landlord before. How close is this property to where you live right now?
It's an hour drive.
Okay. So it's not, you know, right down the street, but it's not, you know, three states away. So that's good. You could keep tabs on it and, you know, check it out and cover maintenance issues and things like that. Talk to me about just your financial readiness for this. How much would you put down? How much would you finance? And how easily could you absorb that monthly payment if you didn't have a renter?
Right now, we could probably, we have liquidated cash for, I would say probably about 150.
Okay.
And then for the rest, we would get a loan.
Okay. And would that leave you still plenty of liquid savings, emergency funds?
The emergency funds would stay in place, yes.
Okay. And the 150, would you have to sell stocks, or where is this money today?
No, this is with a... with our financial guy.
Okay, but is it in a money market or something, or is it invested?
It is, how is it? I think it's called a fancy savings account. So it is
okay.
It is money we've already paid taxes on.
Yeah, and so, you wouldn't have to pay any capital gains because it's not in stocks and bonds. It's probably just earning interest. That sounds good. I like the 50% loan to value. I love putting this money to work where it's not only in an asset that's growing, because that home hopefully would appreciate, and I like the fact that it's on lakefront. But secondly, you'd also now be generating an income, which is probably, you know, I would expect it to be more than you're generating right now. What about just monthly expenses and cash flow? It sounds like you have plenty to cover the debt service even without a renter.
Yes.
Okay.
My husband would have to cut back a little bit on spending, but yeah.
Okay, got it. Well, you know, I think you're checking all the boxes here. I mean, I want, first of all, you all to have spousal unity on this. I don't think it's a problem to take on a mortgage at 65. That doesn't concern me. So long as you've got the ability to cover the debt service, sounds like you do. You may not even have to come out of pocket if you get, you know, we stay in a good economy and you keep it rented. You've done this before. It's not too far away. You're getting a great buy, which means even with the expenses related to buying and selling it, if you ever decided, hey, this property isn't performing like we want, or, you know, it's just too much hassle, I suspect you could get out and break even because you're getting the 15% discount going in. So as long as you guys are on the same page about this, I feel like this is a good thing for the next maybe 10 years or so until you're ready to be more passive in your investing.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Rob. I really appreciate it. I will talk to my husband about all of this, and we definitely will make that decision together, because we do want to be in God's will in all we do.
Well, I love that, and thanks for saying that. What an encouragement to our listeners today that y'all are seeking the Lord, you're coming together to talk it through and seek unity in this decision. That's absolutely the right way to approach it. God bless you, Tina. Thanks for your kind remarks about the program. To Safford, Arizona, Arnold, go ahead.
Yes, Rob, I'm concerned about taking from a traditional IRA, $575,000, putting it into a Roth, and being able to pay the taxes, you know, doing it in five splits for 5 years. And then after those 5 years, am I correct that I would not pay any money if I got interest on that money made on the from a traditional to a Roth?
That's correct, because once it's in the Roth, now it's growing tax-free, and you don't have any required minimums, so you wouldn't have to take anything out. I guess the only question would just be, are there other ways to get that money out without ever paying any tax? Because you're going to have a pretty steep tax bill, you know, adding $100,000 a year for the next 5 years that would now be subject to federal and state income tax. So, for instance, with the current giving that you're doing, what about, you know, if you're doing some charitable giving to your church or other ministries out of after-tax accounts, like from checking or savings, what if you replace that with money from your IRA through a qualified charitable distribution, and then you know, you'd get that money out without ever paying tax on it? So that might be a way to take a portion of it to kind of earmark for your giving. And that way you're not, you know, putting as much through, you know, your federal tax return and state and having to pay tax on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I already looked into that quality charitable thing. I think it's $95,000. But that's not, but my question was, after the 5 years that I left the money in there from switching it over from an IRA to a Roth, that there would not be no more future taxes on that money. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, because you would have already paid it. You've accommodated for the 5 year rule, so that's important. You can't take it out. But as long as it's in there for 5 years and you've paid the tax, now that money is growing in whatever you invested in, whether it's earning interest in a brokered CD or it's in stocks and bonds or mutual funds or gold, whatever it is. Yeah, there's no tax to be paid on the gains from that point forward.
Okay. That's what you answered my question, because as long as I stay under $206,000 for the year, making that split, my Medicare don't go up either.
Ah, I see. Yeah, in the future. Now, recognizing that income, but you mean beyond the 5 years?
Right, beyond the 5 years.
Yeah.
Now, for the 5 years, I know I got to stay under 206 total.
Okay. All right. Well, you're on it. It sounds like you've done a great job. I would confirm all this with your CPA. You just don't ever want to have any surprises here. But I sound like you're on the right track. So great question today. Quickly to Fort Lauderdale, Steve, we're going to finish with you, sir. How can I help?
Hi, thanks. Yeah, considering Trump 2.0, would it be a good time to sell a house and buy another house, thinking of prices and interest rates, or to wait?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I don't think there's anything coming in the next 6 months that's going to materially affect this. Because whereas 6 months ago, we would have thought this would be the year that interest rates, like they rose rapidly, might decline rapidly. But now we're not seeing that. We think we'll probably finish the year in the high fives, low sixes, you know, maybe even a bit higher than that. So you're probably not going to see much decrease in the interest rates if you're replacing a mortgage. And we don't expect, especially in Florida, you know, that the market is going to soften. We may see a decrease in the rate of increase of home values, but probably not any kind of decline in home values, broadly speaking. So I think this is really more about, you know, you finding the home that's right for you, that fits your budget, that meets your needs, and really the timing of when you locate that home versus you trying to time this based on some economic events, because I just don't think in the next 6 months you're going to see that anything that's going to materially affect this. I hope that helps, Steve. God bless you, sir. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.